see you, child, though you can't see me. And I know your thoughts before you even think. I heard every last prayer you prayed, though I answered all the time. You just didn't hear my reply. And I know it's not easy. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. Cause the darker the night gets, the brighter the light is. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. You ain't seen what I promised. Child, we're just getting started. I'll be your way when there's no way out. And I'll be your strength when your strength runs out. And if you walk into the fire, I'll be right there in the flames. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's loving you's easy.
Well, bless the Lord and good morning. We welcome you to stand with us. Those of you watching at home, we welcome you to stand with us right where you are. Your living room, your bedroom, your kitchen. Worship with us this morning. This morning, I am very excited to be in the house of God. I'm very excited to be able to lift up a shout of praise, to lift up a bless you to the Lord, to lift up I love you to the Lord, to lift up my praise to the Lord, knowing that anything is possible. God, we bless you this morning. Church, I want you to be loud in this place this morning. Come on, church. Hey. Come on and help us sing. There is no shadow.
Put your hands together.
That has ever overcome your life. There is no rival that could ever. You've already won. You've already won. Hallelujah! Show me one thing he can't. Show me a mountain he can't. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Come on and lift it up this morning.
There is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light, and in his kingdom every dead thing is bound to rise. God, our Redeemer, he is faithful to revive. Oh, he will revive. Yeah. Show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain he can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Do you believe it? Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Oh, it's possible.
Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Come on.
Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Come on, lift it up. Hey. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment.
Show me one thing. Come on. He can do.
Show me a mountain he can move.
He's the God of the breakthrough.
Anything is possible. Yes, it is. Show me one thing
that's too hard.
Show me water.
Show me water.
He can part.
He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Yes, it's possible. Yeah, yeah. Nothing's too hard for you. Omnipotent God, all power's in your hands, and you're worthy of our praise. Mighty are the works of your hands. It is possible.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Just put your head and your heart and everything you have to the Lord this morning. Sing with me this morning. Just lay it all out there. Give it all to the Lord this morning. All on the altar, surrendered again. Freely I lay down my everything. This is my honor.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Lord, we welcome you in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Come with fire, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord. We welcome you in this place. We surrender to your will. Come on, church, help me sing.
I'll give you all, give you all of my worship. Fall fire, fall fire, fall,
come consume us, God.
I'll give you all of my worship. Fall fire, fall fire, fall. All of my worship, fall fire, fall fire, fall, come consume
it. Oh,
we will,
Lord.
I'll give you all.
You can have it all. You can have it all.
Worship, fall fire, fall fire.
You're all, and I will be a living sacrifice.
Oh. Heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ.
One more time, sing it.
And I will be a living sacrifice, all my heart and soul. Glorify, I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ.
Come on, somebody shout amen.
Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I've needed, his hand has provided. He keeps every promise, and every word spoken will never return to him void. God of Abraham, the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness.
God from age to age, the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true.
Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. Then let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness from the rising sun.
rising sun to the setting saint.
I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. Setting saint, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. Church, as we're standing here, I'm standing next to my promise. We serve a good and faithful God. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
At this time in the worship, we're going to continue on in this song, but I'd like to invite our prayer team to come forward, and if you would like prayer, we would invite you to come and receive prayer this morning. Amen.
Never let me down. I put
the setting, same I'll praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
I'll still bless you. I'll still bless you. I'll still bless you. And I'll still bless you.
I'll still bless you.
In the middle of the storm, in the middle of my trial,
I'll still bless you.
In the middle of the road, when I don't know where to go,
I'll still bless you.
In the middle of my storm, in the middle of my trial,
I'll still bless you.
When I'm in the middle,
I've
got a reason to bless your name.
I'll still bless you.
You've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been so good to me. You've been so good.
I'll still bless you. And I'll still bless you. I'll still bless you.
I'll still bless you.
I'll still bless you. I'll still bless you.
Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness to me.
Oh, great.
Great is your faithfulness to me.
From the rising sun.
From the rising sun to the setting sun, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
Great in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I'll put my faith in Jesus, my to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down.
I'll put my faith in.
I'll put my faith in.
My anchor to the
my
ground.
My anchor to the
He'll
ground.
And my firm
my
foundation.
My hope and firm foundation.
Never let me down.
He'll never
let me down.
I'll
put my faith in
I'll
Jesus.
My anchor to the ground.
My anchor to the ground.
My hope and firm foundation.
My hope and firm foundation.
Never let me down.
He'll never let me down.
He'll never let me down.
He'll never let me down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good morning, family. Hey, Mike, nice to see you. Praise God. We're going to sing one more song in a little while, but I just wanted to welcome you. It's so good to see you in church this morning. We're finishing up prayer here, but praise God. We just love to worship. It brings the presence of God. That's the Bible says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Amen. But won't you just take a moment, turn around and greet somebody, tell them you're glad to see them, and you may be seated. Well, you may be seated. Glad to see you in church this morning. Welcome, welcome. We are want to welcome those that are watching online today. We're glad you joined us. And we've been away for two Sundays, so really nice to see you again. Glad to be back here. We're going to just welcome, if we have anyone that's visiting for the first time today, we want to welcome you. Is anyone that's here for the first time today? God bless you. Come on, welcome him. Thank you. So good to have you. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Our ushers are going to hand you a visitor pack. We ask you just take a moment and fill out that guest card. And if you would not mind, at the end of the service, just drop it in the offering bucket. It gives the pastor a chance to give you a call. I better get back into my American sounding pastor. We spent all our time in South Africa changing back over to the pronunciations. Now we're going to change it all back, right? You like it? You understand us, don't you? There you go. I'm glad. Well, just to remind you the various ways that people can watch online. For those that are watching on Facebook Live, we're glad you joined us. Go ahead and share the live link. Last Sunday, we were in Cape Town. It was the evening, and I was watching and watched worship and got through the announcements, and just as the preaching was going to start, we had to go into church. So we got that far, but I know that people watch from all over. So thank you for joining us today. Online church, just get exactly what you need from the Lord in this service today. You can watch on YouTube, which I like. You can just go and watch it during the week, and on our website and on our mobile app. So go ahead and do that. I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. Second one is that you would find freedom. Then you would discover your purpose and you'd make a difference with your life. Amen. And we're going to carry on worshiping this morning. We have one more song. I think you did it last week. Well, I know you did it last week because I listened to you. That was Glorify. So we're going to sing. So if you'd stand up with us, let's sing one more song. And just, I encourage you, just forget about those around you and just focus on the Lord and let's worship together.
We ascribe glory to your name, God. Be glorified in this place.
I see the Lord highly exalted. I hear the sound of heaven's praise. Before the throne, we cry out, holy. The King is here. The King is here. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the one. He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the King of all. I sense a shift. The church is rising. I feel the rush of kingdom come. I hear the sound of a roaring lion. The King is here. The King is here. Say, glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the one. He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the King of all.
Sing it again.
Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty.
Glorify the one.
He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify.
Son of God, the name above all names. Every tongue confess He is righteousness. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Every knee will bow before the Son of God, the name above all names. And every tongue confess He is righteousness. Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. Every knee will bow.
Every knee will bow for the Son of God, the name above all names.
God be magnified.
God be magnified. God be lifted high. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Of the Lord Almighty, glorify the King of all.
Glorify, glorify,
glorify the name of the Lord Almighty, glorify the one He alone is worthy. Glorify the name of the Lord Almighty. Glorify the King of all.
My heart be glorified.
Yes, God.
And in my life be glorified. In your church be glorified. Through it all, Lord, be glorified. Help me sing. In my heart be glorified. And in my life be glorified. And in your church be glorified. Through it all, Lord, be glorified.
God be glorified. God be lifted high forever. Come on.
God be magnified. God be glorified. God be lifted
forever
high.
And ever.
Forever.
Yeah.
God be magnified.
Sing it out.
God be glorified. God be lifted high forever. the Lord Almighty, glorify the King of all.
Hallelujah. Come on. Lord, we give you praise. We glorify you. We magnify you. You alone are worthy, Lord. You alone are mighty. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We know, Lord, that every good thing in our life comes from you. Just thank you and praise you today. We are so grateful, Lord, that we trust in you no matter what, Lord. Thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to every promise you ever made. And we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn to someone and welcome them. Tell them you're glad to see them today. Hallelujah. I'm going to need a microphone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everybody. I said good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Glad that you're in church today. Praise God. I was hoping that, you know, we'd have everybody come back today. We sure missed you. But we sure are glad to see you here this morning. And we are going to have a great time here. We already have. What an amazing time of worship. The worship team did a wonderful job today. Give them a big round of applause. We really appreciate. Come on, give them a. We appreciate our worship team. Praise the Lord. Chester, I'm going to try and keep with this microphone. Seems to be dropping out every now and then. I'm holding a spare in case. But I prefer to use this. We'll see how we do this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad to be back. As you know, we've been in South Africa the past 2 weeks. We were preaching. Show me those pictures. We were preaching at, I preached 8 times in 2 weeks. So for those who say, people ask me, did you have a good vacation? Preaching 8 times is not exactly a vacation, but we did have a great time. So start with Johannesburg. That's Cape Town. Let's get them in the right order. Start with Johannesburg. It should be pictures of us with our anniversary. That's what you should come up. This is all back to front. We're starting at the back here now. That's at the end. That's at the end of the trip. I'm trying to get the beginning of the trip. I'm trying to get Johannesburg. Pictures of us from the wedding. That's what I'm looking for. That's not it. Just keep going. Monique, help me out here, please. Monique. Help me out here, please. These are pictures. They're great. That's a great picture. It's just not where it's supposed to be. That's in Cape Town, Hout Bay. I'm looking for Johannesburg. That's what I'm trying to find, Johannesburg. Have you got those? The conference. That's Cape Town. This didn't work out so good. That's back to Cape Town. We're looking for Johannesburg. It's pictures of us celebrating our 40th anniversary. Did you not put those up? Well, that's not it. That's where we've rented a Harley Davidson. And went riding around Cape Town, Hout Bay, one of my favorite things to do anyway. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It was beautiful. Beautiful weather. We just keep looking at this picture. Praise God. You got him? It's Johannesburg. I sent emails 1, email 2, email 3. So this is the first Sunday we're in Johannesburg, the church where Jill and I met, where we started dating. We celebrated our 40th anniversary. Keep them going. Keep them moving. Come on, guys. Gosh. So there we are. They put some pictures up for us. Pastor Theo married us 40 years ago, and here we are back at the church. And there he is over in the corner there. Any more? Keep on going. We don't want to look 5 minutes on each picture. We want to move fast. Praise the Lord. About the conference. Well, anyway, we arrived. There was a conference, Pastor Theo's church. I spoke at the conference, and then I preached on Sunday, and then we went down to Cape Town, and we were with Pastor Alan and Janine last Sunday at their church. I did three services at their church, and then we had a few days to relax, and we got back on Friday at 5:30 a.m. and came straight back home. We're glad to be home, aren't we? So praise the Lord. Forget about it. I'm going to move on. I can't wait any longer for that. Are you ready for God's word today? I'm ready for God's word. Are you ready? Well, we are. Let's get into the word of God today. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is life-changing, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you anoint your word today and that you carry it to our hearts and our minds and that you cause our faith to rise up big. Thank you, Lord, that faith comes from hearing your word. And I thank you for increasing our faith, Lord. Thank you that all things are possible to someone who has faith. And I thank you, Lord, as we walk out of here today, that our faith is going to be strengthened, that our faith is going to go to a new level today. And I give you all of the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that is said and done today. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our series on the power of faith. And this is actually part number 4. And if you didn't hear the other teachings, part 1, 2, and 3, I would really encourage you to go and watch them on our app or watch them on our YouTube channel, because I can't go back over everything we've discussed. But, you know, Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23, he said, all things are possible to someone who has faith. Tell your neighbor, all things are possible when you have faith. There is nothing that God cannot do in your life when you're operating in faith. And so understanding faith and how it works, I really believe is the most important thing that you can learn in your life. Because without faith, the Bible says you can't receive anything from God without faith. Everything that we receive from God, we receive through faith. And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. Amen? Walking by faith, the key to seeing victories in your life. Faith is what moves God to act in your life. And for faith to work, you have to say it. Part number 4 is called faith works by, or words make faith work. In order for your faith to work, you've got to speak out your faith. Jesus said in Matthew 17, verse 20, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say. If you have faith, you will say. Notice that. Jesus said, if you have faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing is possible for you. So faith must be spoken. For faith to work, you've got to speak it out of your mouth. We have an amazing account in Mark chapter 5 about a woman who experienced a miracle because of her faith. It says in verse 25 that in the crowd that day there was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She'd endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all that she had on treatment, she was getting worse instead of getting better. But when she heard about Jesus' healing power. What did she hear? She heard about Jesus' healing power. She pushed through the crowd. She came up from behind, and she touched his prayer shawl. Now, how many of you know that faith comes? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And this woman heard about Jesus. She heard about his healing power. So she had faith to be healed, but then what did she do? The Bible says in verse 28, she kept saying to herself, if I can touch even his clothes, I know I will be healed. She kept saying, if I can just touch Jesus' clothes, the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She kept on saying it. She didn't just say it one time. She said it over and over. Who knows how many times she said it. And every time she said it, she was releasing her faith. The Bible says in verse 29, as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. And she knew it. She could feel in her body that she had instantly been healed of that disease. And Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed him for someone to be healed. And he turned and he spoke to the crowd. He said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples answered, they said, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you. But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd looking for the one who touched him for healing. See, there's a difference between a touch of curiosity and a touch of faith. And it says, when this woman who experienced the miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him, trembling with fear. She threw herself down at his feet and she said, I was the one who touched you. And she told him the story of what had just happened. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Jesus said that it was her faith that made her well. Now, of course, we know it was God's power that healed her, but it was her faith that released God's power. And it was her words that made her faith work. If she hadn't spoken it out, she would have never received her healing. See, faith be spoken. Faith is activated and released by your words. It works through your words. So you may believe all you want, but if you're not speaking out what you believe, your faith's not going to work. That's what I want you to get to see today. In Luke chapter 7, there was a Roman centurion. He heard that Jesus was in town, and he had a beloved servant. That's okay, Abel. They're supposed to do that. Yeah, it's supposed to do that. It's fine. He heard that Jesus was in town. He had a beloved servant who was sick at the point of death. And so he sent a message to Jesus, this Roman centurion. He sent this message to Jesus in Luke 7, verse 6. And he said, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home. I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not worthy to even come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. This Roman centurion sends this message. He said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. In fact, in the Living Bible, it says, so just say, be healed, and my servant will be well again. And what happened? Exactly what he said came to pass. It says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen such great faith like this in all Israel. This Roman centurion has got greater faith than anybody else that I've met in Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found his slave, the slave, completely healed. Now, Jesus called that great faith. And in both cases, the woman that had the issue with blood and this Roman centurion, notice their faith was connected to their words. Say this, my words make my faith work. Amen. In Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. And the Passion Bible says, let the faith of God be in you. And you could say it like this, have the God kind of faith. Jesus is talking about having the kind of faith that God has. And in verse 23, he said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Notice Jesus mentions the word says three times. He repeats it three times. What did Jesus say that you would have? He didn't say you would have what you believe. He said you will have what you say. And he emphasized that because most of us are not, most of us, that's where most people miss it. They're not missing it in what they believe, but they're missing it because they don't speak out what they believe. Are you with me? For faith to work, you have to say what you believe. Very few people realize the importance of this. I can tell by listening to what people say. Because if you really believe that the things that you say are going to come to pass, you'd be very careful about the things that you say. Jesus is talking about exercising the God kind of faith. And this faith works by believing in your heart and by saying it with your mouth. For your faith to work, you must say it. That's how God used faith to create this whole world. That's how God created the entire universe. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to everything that is seen. Now, if you read the account in Genesis chapter 1, where God spoke the world into existence, you will see that 10 times it repeats. It says, then God said, and it was so. God said, let there be light, and it was so. God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, and it was so. God said, let the waters be gathered together, and let dry land appear, and it was so. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures, and it was so. As soon as God said it, that's when it happened. That's how God created the entire world. Nothing happened until God spoke it. We've got the same spirit of faith that God has. Say, I've got the same spirit of faith that God has. What you looking for? Huh? Okay. Say, I've got the same spirit of faith that God has. Where's he going? Where's he going? Are you looking for Muff's keys? Well, he shouldn't be going anywhere. He should be sitting right there in his seat. Tell him he should be sitting in his seat. Shouldn't be going anywhere. Service not over. And he's disturbing my service. Still here? Would never happen in Johannesburg. Never happen in Cape Town. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the Scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. First I believed, then I spoke in faith. That's exactly what God does. And the Apostle Paul was quoting King David. He didn't even give King David any credit. He was quoting King David because King David said that in Psalm 116, verse 10. I believed, and therefore I spoke. And so Paul's quoting David. I believe, and therefore I spoke. In fact, I love the Passion translation of that Psalm 116 because it says, even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. He says, no matter what's going on around me, even when I've got all kinds of difficulty, I still speak words of faith. Do you know that it's really important, no matter what's going on around you, to continue to speak out words of faith in God? No matter what you're facing, keep speaking words of faith. We got the same spirit of faith that God has. And faith is when you speak what you believe. Your words will make your faith work for you. It's what activates your faith. That's what it tells us in Romans chapter 10, in verse 8. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word of God's got to be in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice that. With the heart I believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto. Now some people have told me, oh, Pastor Steve, I don't believe in that confession stuff. I don't believe in that faith stuff. Well, listen, You cannot be saved if you don't believe this. You can't be a Christian. That's how you get saved. That's how you become a child of God, because you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. That's how we receive salvation. And do you know that everything else that you will ever receive from God is going to come the same way? With the heart I believe, and with my mouth confession is made unto. It's not just true of salvation, it's true of everything you receive from God. Because everything we receive from God comes by faith. You receive healing, believing in your heart what God's word says and confessing, I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. You receive your needs met financially by believing, my God supplies all my needs, and declaring, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You've got to believe it and you've got to say it. Are you with me so far? Amen. Faith works by believing and speaking. Whatever you receive from God, that's the way it's done. That's the way you are going to receive. Confession precedes possession. Confession brings possession. In fact, faith confessions create realities in your life. You will possess what you confess. That's God's law of faith. You will never be a conqueror until you confess that you are a conqueror. You will never be victorious until you confess, I am more than a conqueror. God leads me always in victory. Until you begin to declare it. You'll never have what God's word promises until you begin to declare it with your mouth. God's promises will never become a reality until you speak them out over your life in faith. This is what we do all the time. Every week we are declaring, my God supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When sickness tries to come on me, I say, no, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I resist you, sickness. Jesus took my sickness and he bore my diseases. Continually, we're speaking out our faith in God. Are you with me? If you get a hold of this, it'll change your life forever. Abraham in the Bible is called the father of our faith. He's our example of faith. And we learn a powerful lesson from Abraham, because Abraham did not possess God's promise until he began to confess it. Abraham had a promise from God for 24 years, but it didn't happen until he began to clear it over his life. In Genesis chapter 12, look what the Lord promised Abraham. Verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. That's God's promise. Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So the first time that Abram receives this promise from God that he's going to be a mighty nation, he's 75 years old, right? Yeah. Now, about 8 years later, in Genesis chapter 15, the Lord speaks to Abram again. It says, he brought Abram outside and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So God brings Abram out, and he says, look at the stars. See all those stars in the sky? That's how many descendants you're going to have. And the Bible says Abram believed. He believed what God said, but he didn't confess it. See, God's word doesn't work for you just because you believe it. You can believe the Bible all day long. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. It's not believing. You must confess what you believe. You must confess God's promise in order for them to become a reality in your life. In Genesis chapter 17, it says, when Abram was 99, so this is 24 years since the first time God spoke to him when he was 75. When he was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. And fell on his face, and God talked with him and said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Now notice, God changes his name when he's 99. Why did God change his name? Because God's helping him to begin to confess the promise of God. Because the name Abraham literally means the father of many nations, or the father of a multitude. So every time Abraham introduced himself, he's confessing God's word. Every time he met somebody and said, hi, I'm Abraham, he's saying, I am the father of many nations. He's confessing God's promise. God's getting Abraham to do what he does. The Bible says God calls things that do not exist as though they did. God calls things that do not exist as though they did. Romans 4 verse 17. That's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. Abraham is our example, and he is our father. For in God's presence, he believed God can raise the dead, and calls into being things that don't even exist yet. God calls things which do not exist as though they did. You see, God speaks the desired result in faith. And then what God says happens. God says, light be, and then light comes. God doesn't say, oh, it's so dark. It's so dark out there. No, he says, light be. And the same with Abraham. You see, nothing happened in creation till God spoke it, and nothing happened with Abraham until he began to confess the promise of God. Until you speak faith-filled words, very little will happen in your life. Say amen, somebody. But once God changed Abraham, changed it from Abram to Abraham, and Abraham started confessing the promise of God, he started saying, I am the father of many nations. I want you to see what happened. In Genesis 21, it says, the Lord visited Sarah just as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah just as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived, and she bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. It says, when Abraham started speaking the promise, Did I miss a scripture there? Did I miss one? When Abraham was 100 years old, the Bible says that Sarah conceived Isaac. He was 100 years old. Now, when God changed Abram's name, he was 99. And when Sarah conceived, move on for me, Abraham was 100. So how long did it take for Sarah to get pregnant once Abraham started to declare and confess God's word? Abraham believed God's word for 24 years. That didn't happen. When he began to confess it, Sarah became pregnant in 3 months. Because when he was 99, God changed his name. And when he was 100 is when Sarah conceived. And if a woman is pregnant for 9 months, that means it took like 3 months or less for her to become pregnant. See, you can believe God's word for years and years and years and nothing happened. And the moment you begin to declare it, the moment you begin to confess it, then you'll see God's word become a reality in your life. Faith doesn't work without your confession. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself. In fact, your faith grows with your confession. Your faith will never grow beyond your confession. Your faith grows with your confession. If you keep talking about how the devil is hindering you and keeping you from success and holding you back, keeping you sick, that's a confession of defeat, and it glorifies the devil. It gives the devil dominion over you. Our words are either going to give God or Satan dominion over our life. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 6 verse 2. It says you're trapped by your own words. Do you know very often we are held in invisible chains by the words that we speak? We are held back because of when you say, I could never do that, you just limited yourself. But in Proverbs 12, verse 6, it says, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Your words can either trap you or your words can deliver you. A lot of people don't realize how their words affect their life, how their words control their life. Don't ever confess your fears. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, what if I'm afraid? Well, you don't have to be afraid. Rather declare what God's word says. God's word says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So fear is not coming from inside you. Fear is coming from the outside. It's trying to get a hold of you. Fear is from the enemy. And you got to resist the enemy. James 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. So you got to speak to that spirit of fear and say, no, I resist you, fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, and that fear will leave you. It might be a battle at first, but the more you do this, the less fear will control you. I remember when I was in the army, for a few months I had to go to the army in South Africa. Everyone had to go to the army. They had, what do they call it? Conscription. And everyone had to go. So I was in the army, and Jill was staying at home by herself, and she had the two girls. We had Robin and Nadine, and I don't know, they were about 4 years old, or two, I think five and three, something like that, right? And she was at home, and we lived in a new neighborhood. There was a lot of construction going on. There was a lot of empty lots of land and houses being built. And so one day she came home, and there were muddy footprints going down the passageway. Someone had been in the house. And so that night, she had this fear come on her, it's like really, you feel it, you can sense this fear come on her. And what did she do? She spoke out. She said, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. And just like that, that fear went away. And it never came back. Amen? Don't confess your fears. Don't confess your doubts. Can I tell you, doubt is from the enemy. Doubt is evil. Doubt is just as to doubt God is just as evil as doing drugs. It's just as evil as cussing. When the 12 spies, God sent the 12 spies to spy out the promised land. The Bible says they brought back an evil report because it was a report of doubt. In Numbers 13, verse 32, it says they brought the Israelites an evil report. Notice that. God called it evil. They brought an evil report of the land in which they had scouted out, saying, they said, it's an amazing land. It flows with milk and honey. But there's a problem. The cities are large and they're well fortified, and the people, they're stronger than we are. We even saw giants there. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. They said, we cannot take the land. We are not able to take the land. However, there were two spies that said something different. And their names were Joshua and Caleb. And in Numbers 30, verse 30, look what they said. Caleb quieted the people before Moses. He said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So the 10 spies said, we can't do it. The people are too strong. And they brought an evil report. It was a report of doubt. They doubted God. But Caleb and Joshua said, no, we can do it. The Lord is with us. Let's go right now. See, unfortunately, the rest of the Israelites agreed with the evil report. Instead of agreeing with what God said, they agreed with that report of doubt. And in Numbers 14, verse 2, it says, and all the children of Israel, they complained against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation. They said, if only we died in the land of Egypt, or if only we died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us out to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who'd spied out the land, they tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel. They said, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land. He will give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. They are our bread. Their protection is departed. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, stone them with stones. And then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. Look what God says to them. The Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron. He said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel that they make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. God said, tell them they're going to get exactly what they said. Now, who got what they said? All those who said, we cannot take the land, better that we're going to die in the wilderness, they got exactly what they said. And Joshua and Caleb, who said, we can take the land, they got exactly what they said. See, some people think the majority are always right. Let me tell you, if you follow the majority, even the majority of Christians, you'll walk in doubt and unbelief. I've found out many Christians that don't believe the Bible, many Christians that don't believe what God's Word says. Don't talk doubt. Don't have a negative confession. Stop talking about what you can't do, and rather talk about what God can do. Talk about what the greater one on the inside of you is able to do. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, I'm well able to overcome because the Lord is with me. Say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Say, if God is for me, who can be against me? See, that's what you want to be declaring. God is for me. Yes, I may be facing a difficulty, but God is for me. Who's going to stand against me? Greater is he that is in me. I can do all things through Christ. Are you with me? So the Israelites, they got just what they said. And Joshua and Caleb, they got just what they said. Because 40 years later, all those people who said, we're going to die in the wilderness, they did die in the wilderness. But 40 years later, under the leadership of Joshua and Caleb, promised land. They went to the promised land. In Joshua chapter 14 verse 6, I'll read it to you. It says, the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him. It was in my heart. He hadn't forgotten what he said. 40 years later, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So Caleb is 85 years old. He's 85 years old. He said, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I'm strong as the day on which Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength now for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and the cities were great and fortified. It may be, but the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord God said. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb to this day because he wholly followed the Lord his God. Amen. They got what they said. Caleb and Joshua, they took the promised land. They had to wait 40 years, man, or 45 years for all the Israelites who didn't believe God to die in the wilderness. But let me tell you, faith works by saying it. Say, my faith works by saying it. Many, many people, they think they're being honest when they confess their doubts and they confess their fears and they talk about their problems. But we are not doubters. We are believers. We may be tempted to doubt. Doubt may come to us, but we got to resist doubt. We got to refuse to speak out doubt and fear and rather continue to speak out what God's word says. Declare God's promises. Because let me tell you, faith will work in your heart even when you have thoughts of doubt in your head, in your mind. Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he said. Jesus didn't say anything about not doubting in your head. You see, doubt comes to all of us. But a thought of doubt that is unspoken will die unborn. But the moment you speak it out, you give life to that doubt. I have thoughts of doubt come to me all the time. I just don't speak them out. I remember Kenneth Hagin. I remember him saying that some of the greatest miracles he ever saw in his life happened while he had thoughts of doubt in his mind. But he refused to speak those thoughts of doubt, and he kept on speaking out what the Word of God says. See, you got to hold fast to your confession of faith if you want it to work for you. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, it says we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who promised is faithful. Say, I must continue to hold on firmly to my confession of faith. Why does this tell us to hold firmly to our confession of faith? Because we are in a fight of faith. And the enemy is going to try and stop you from speaking words of faith. The enemy is going to try and stop you from speaking faith. You've got to hold tightly to your confession of faith. You've got to have, let me tell you, your faith has got to have endurance. You can't quit every time something doesn't look like it's going your way. You've got to keep on standing and believing the word of God. Are you with me? In Hebrews 6, verse 12, it says, don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully receive what God has promised because of their strong faith and their patient endurance. If you're going to receive everything God has for you, you've got to have strong faith. You've got to declare what God says, and you've got to hold your confession of faith, and you've got to have endurance, man, where you refuse to quit. It says, now when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than himself, he swore an oath on his own integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. So he said, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over and give you a son and multiply you without measure. So Abraham waited patiently in faith and succeeded in seeing the promise fulfilled. See, Abraham didn't give up. Abraham didn't quit. Endurance is the ability to last, to bear opposition without giving way, to withstand pressure. It means you don't give up. In Hebrews 10, verse 38, the Bible says, don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. You need the Spirit, you need the strength of endurance, and then you will receive the promise in full. For soon and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. The Bible says if we are going to receive everything God has destined for us, that we have to hold fast to our confession of faith. Are you with me? In order to receive God's promise, you've got to have endurance. You've got to keep on believing God. You've got to keep on constantly confessing your faith in God. You see, because the blessings of God come from the spiritual realm. That's where God lives. Angels and demons exist in that spiritual realm. There's a realm beyond this physical realm, and it's the realm where God exists, and Satan and demons are trying to stop your prayer from coming to pass. You see, when you pray and you ask God to do something, he releases that blessing from the spiritual realm. It comes from the spiritual realm into the natural realm, but there are Satan and demons that try and stop those blessings from getting through to you. That's the reason why things don't always get through to you, because the enemy convinces you to stop confessing it. You let go of your confession of faith, and that enables the enemy to steal it from you. We're in a spiritual warfare. Satan is trying to stop that from coming to pass. And so you've got to hold fast to your confession of faith. We can see this in the book of Daniel, because Daniel had a vision from God, and he prayed, and he asked God for understanding of the vision. And after praying and fasting for 21 days, an angel appears to Daniel. I want you to see what the angel told him in Daniel 10, verse 12. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard. I have come in answer to your prayer. The first day you prayed, I was sent. The first day you prayed, I was sent to bring the answer." And in the New King James Version, it says, "I have come because of your words. I have come because of your words. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came and to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." So the angel said, "Daniel, the first day you prayed, I was sent. I was sent to you because of your words." See, your words are powerful. But there's this warfare going on. He said, for 21 days, I was blocked by this prince of Persia. That's a spiritual ruler. Do you know that there are demonic spirits that rule over cities? And he said, I was blocked for 21 days. So now, can you see why sometimes the answer to your prayer takes time? It's not God has not dispatched the answer. Your prayer was heard the first day you prayed, and the answer is on its way. And the angels are trying to bring that prayer to you, but demons are trying to stop the angels from getting to you with the answer. And the thing that turns the tide is your faith. That's why you've got to continue to confess your faith. That's why you've got to hold tightly to your declaration of faith. Because when you do, you swing the battle toward the angels so they can overcome those demons and bring the answer to you. Are you with me, family? You must have confidence, man. You got to know that God heard your prayer, that your answer is on the way. And what you do, you keep thanking God by faith. You keep confessing what you believe that you have received. This is why a lot of people, they don't succeed. Because if they encounter any kind of opposition or any kind of delay, then they give up. But you got to keep standing in faith. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Notice this: against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm in a spiritual battle. But thank God, God's given us weapons to open every time. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," having done all to stand therefore. When you've done everything you know to stand on God's word, what do I do? Keep on standing. Keep on declaring. Keep on confessing God's word. Keep on holding tightly to your confession of faith. Don't give up. Amen. Having done all to stand, keep on standing. Are you standing on God's word? Are you standing on God's promises? Then keep standing. Don't give up. Because if Satan can keep you in the realm of the senses, he'll defeat you. He'll try, the enemy tries to get you to look at your circumstances. But if you stay in faith, you'll defeat him. And you've got to get aggressive when it comes to dealing with the devil. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." You've got to be forceful when it comes to dealing with the enemy. The dictionary defines the word violence as great force or strength in operation, intensity of emotion, passion, or to force change. And when you read the scripture from the New International Version, it says, "Forceful men lay hold of it." The Passion Bible says, "Passionate people have taken hold of its power." You see, we are not taking anything from God. We are taking from the enemy. He's trying to keep that from you. And you've got to be forceful. You've got to be determined. You've got to be passionate. You've got to get a little violent when it comes to dealing with the devil. You can't say, "Now, please, Mr. Devil, I'm asking you very nicely. devil. You leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. The devil's a bully. He doesn't respond to that. You've got to say, now, devil, you listen to me. In the name of Jesus, you take your hands off my finance. You take your hands off my children. You take your hands off my body. You take your hands off my business. I resist you. I take authority over you. You get out of here. In the name of Jesus, you've got to get a little violent. You've got to get a little forceful. You've got to get a little passionate. Are you with me? I told you about Pastor Fred Price. He's gone home to be the Lord now, but he was in his 80s. But I remember him telling the story how that one day he felt in his body, in his chest, he had a little growth. It was a little tiny, like the size of a pea. And he was in the shower, and he felt this little growth. So he started to declare, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Jesus took my infirmities, and he bore my sicknesses. By his wounds. That's what the Bible says. By the wounds of Jesus, we have been healed. Healing belongs to us. Jesus already took it. If Jesus took my sicknesses, I'm not going to take them because he took them for me. And so he began to declare, I'm healed. And every day, that growth kept growing. It kept getting bigger. For 300 days, until that growth was the size of like a silver dollar, like a golf ball, like that big. It just kept getting bigger. Now, most of us would have given up. Most of us would be, ooh, this isn't working. But he didn't. He kept on declaring, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget all his benefits. Who heals all your diseases. And he kept on saying it. After 300 days, one day, he woke up and he took a shower and that growth was completely gone. Disappeared. Now, when I heard him tell that story, I was a teenager. I was 17 years old, and I started getting warts on my hands, on every finger. I had like a wart on every finger. Then it started coming on my feet. And you know what? I heard him tell that story, and I started to declare, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I command these warts to go. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain will be removed. Jesus didn't say, speak about the mountain. That's where a lot of us miss it. We talk about the problem. Pastor Steve, have I told you about mountain? Have I told you about my problem? And then they tell you all about the problem. That doesn't make the problem go away. You know what makes the problem go away? When you speak to the mountain. And I begin to declare, Lord, thank you for healing me. Healing belongs to me. Jesus, you took my sickness. You took my warts. By your stripes, by your wounds, I've been healed. I started to declare it every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And nothing happened. Just kept months and months and months. Every day I kept declaring it. And one day I woke up, and every single one of those warts had gone overnight. It was like all brand new skin. They didn't just slowly disappear. They just instantly went like that. But I had to hold fast to my confession of faith. I had to have endurance. I didn't quit. See, once you pray the prayer of faith, you've then got to support that prayer with your confession of what you believe you have received. That's how faith works. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. So first you pray, and you ask God for what you need him to do in your life, and you believe that you have received it. Then you begin to confess that you have it, and you keep on thanking God because you believe that you have it. And you keep doing that. You keep on declaring it until you see the manifestation of what you believe in God for. You don't let go of it. You don't give up. Using your faith, it's like chopping down a tree. If you've got a big tree you want to chop down, you may not chop it down with one chop, but I guarantee you, right, Wesley? Wes, he knows. You keep on hitting that tree. I don't care how big it is, man. You keep on chopping. You keep on chopping. You keep on saying, by his stripes are healed. My God meets all my needs. My God shall supply all my needs. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. You keep on chopping, and one day you'll be able to declare, timber, and that tree's going to come falling down. Now, when you pray initially, that's the first time you hit that tree. You hit the axe to the tree, whack. And every time you declare it, my God, thank you, Lord, you're supplying all of my needs, whack. I believe I have received, whack. I thank you, Lord, I'm more than able to overcome this, whack. You keep on doing that. Now, the size of the tree determines how long it will take to chop it down. But remember, your faith grows as you use it. So start using your faith. Start declaring your faith. Amen. I remember I told you the story. Many of you know it. Pastor Theo, my pastor, he was working at a furniture store many, many years ago, selling furniture, making $200 a month. This is like in 1972 or something. Making $200 a month, selling furniture, working 6 days a week. And one day his friend pulled up outside, had his surfboard on the car, said, "Come on, Theo, everyone's at the beach. We're going surfing, man. Come meet us there." And Pastor Theo, he wasn't a pastor in those days, but he said, "I can't go. I've got to work. It's Saturday." And right there and then, suddenly, he desired a new job. He wanted a job. We didn't have to work 6 days a week. He wanted a job. He had a day off. So he prayed, and he asked God, "Lord, you said, whatever things I desire when I pray, believe I receive it, and I shall have it. And so I'm asking you to give me a new job. I'm asking a job where I work five days a week, And Lord, I'm asking a job. Instead of $200, I want to make $800 on basic salary and $600 commission. I want a job where I'm selling out on the road like a sales representative. I want to work 5 days a week, and I want to start my new job on January 1st. After he prayed that prayer, he went to all the people he worked with. There were 17 salesmen that worked in that store. He went to every one of them. He said, "Hey, have I told you about my new job?" "No, what? Oh, I got a great new job, man. I only work 5 days a week. I'm my own boss now. You know, I'm a sales representative. And the company's going to give me a brand new car. They're going to give me a brand new yellow Nissan 16. What kind of salary are they offering you?" "Oh, they're going to give me an $800 basic and $600 at least I'll make on commission. $1,400 a month." It's like seven times what he's making. They're like passed out. When are you going to start?" "I'm starting January 1st. Is there any more jobs?" "I'm sorry, there's only one vacancy." "Where's your new job?" "Well, he had no idea." "He said, I can't tell you that right now. It's a secret." He had no idea what the job was. He's speaking out his faith. He went to all 17 salesmen, told them the same story, every one of them. And then when he finished telling them all, he went back to salesman number one. "Did I tell you about my new job?" "Yeah, you already told me." "Oh, can I tell you again?" Because he's not saying it for their benefit. He's saying it for his benefit. And he just kept on declaring his new job. And sure enough, on January 1st, it was a holiday. Everything was closed. And he's at the beach surfing. And he gets home, and there's a note on the door from a friend of his. Says, "Theo, call me right now. It's urgent." So he calls him up. Says, "I'm his friend of his name's Mike." He said, I'm sitting with a friend of mine. He's a businessman. He's one of his salesmen just resigned, and he's looking for a new salesman. I told him that he should talk to you. Can you come right now for an interview?" And Pastor Theo said, "Well, I just came from the beach, man. I got my swimsuit on, and he's done. Come like you are." He went in for the interview. The man was a Christian. He interviewed Theo. He said, "Man, I want to offer you the position. Have you given any thought? What would it take to get you to come work?" He said, "Said, I want to work 5 days a week." Guy said, "No, that's fine. We closed on weekends." He said, will the company get me a company car because I'm going to be driving around?" "Yes." He said, "I want a yellow seat. Listen, go down and pick it out." He went and picked it out at the dealer. He said, "Now, salary, I'd like to earn $800 a month commission, basic salary, and at least $600 more in commission." The guy said, "We never paid anybody that much." Theo said, "Listen, you hire me, you're going to have God the Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels, all going to be working for you. They all help me. And I'm going to sell more than any salesman ever sold." The guy said, "You hired." He's got that job January the 1st. Everything he prayed for, everything that he wanted. But you see, the key was he kept confessing his faith. He kept speaking his faith. Amen? That's what you got to do. Say this. Say, "My words make my faith work." Say, "I must speak my faith. I must say what God is doing for me. I must say what God's word promises. If I want the promises in the word of God to be a reality in my life, then I must not trap myself with my words. Because my words will either deliver me or my words will trap me. Say, I will speak in faith to the mountain in my path. I will not speak about the mountain. I'm going to speak to the mountain. Say, I will not speak fear or doubt. I've got the same spirit of faith that God has, I believe and I speak words of faith. No matter how things look, say, my confession brings possession. My faith confessions create realities. Say, my faith doesn't work without my confession. I hold firmly to my confession of faith. I will not quit. I have enduring faith. I declare God is with me. He is for me. What can be against me? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm walking in divine health in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. You get something out of this today? Father, I thank you for every person here and every person watching this. I thank you, Lord, that we have been given the same spirit of faith that you have. I pray, Lord, that as we go out of here today, I pray that we will speak out words of faith, that we will declare your promises. No matter how things may look, Lord, that we will keep on holding firmly to our confession of faith in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says, we read it earlier, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, that you will be saved. If you're sitting here today, just bow your heads for a moment and just close your eyes. If you're sitting here today and you say, I've never ever confessed and made Jesus the Lord of my life, this is the day for you. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right and well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt? If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. But I'm not sure. I can't say that I know for certain. Let me tell you the news. You can know that for certain. You can know that for sure. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that every mistake and every sin that you committed in your life, it's forgiven and it's washed away. You can know that you have peace, that all is right between you and the Lord. You can know that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. I want to make sure when I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you right now, I want you just to lift your hand up. Just raise your hand up high, because if your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer. Thank you. I want to ask everyone who raised their hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Romans 10 verse 9, I've quoted it already a couple of times. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I want you to do that right now. I'm going to ask everybody, can we all say this prayer? Especially if you raised your hand, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin, to take punishment. Lord, I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I will live for you, Lord. I will follow you. I will do what your Bible says, and I thank you because I have received you. I am now, say, I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, give God thanks and praise, because the Bible says that even if when one person receives Jesus, that the angels in heaven rejoice. All of the angels rejoice. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm glad you were here this morning. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Glad you were here today. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Tom. Tom just something's going to say before we finish up today. One, two, there you go.
Wow. I hope your faith was built today like mine was. You know, my daughter just went to North Carolina, and she went to the conference she was invited to, and it was a conference where they were giving offers for mentorships for people in business, and some of these mentors, they require, one of them was $100,000 to join the inner circle. And I was thinking about our mentorship here in this church, that God has given us a mentor to lead us in mentors, right? Amen. She's on your side. But anyway, the mentorship that we have here is amazing, because what you'll learn here is for this life, but it's preparing us for an eternal existence with God. And I want you to really search your heart, because this mentorship that we've been given is very, very precious. The Bible says that when we talk about those that lead us and guide us, it says, "And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility," hallelujah, "of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love." This month is Pastor Appreciation Month, and although you may give tithes and offerings, there's a time when we need to honor those that God has put us under their care and their mentorship. This is a special place. You being in this church, I want you to know that God has drawn you here, and He has appointed these precious people as your pastors and your mentors. And we want to overwhelm them with appreciation, because I know my life has been radically changed. What God has called us to, this great salvation that we have, we need to understand it. And we've been given pastors here that lay it out real clear. And let's give them a round of applause right now. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, you can show that. I want to show them appreciation. I know you do too. There's some envelopes in your seats, or you were given when you came in. Take this and let the Lord speak to you how you should be giving and appreciating them, because, you know, I'd love to write them a check for $100,000, because I'm in their inner circle. And, you know, we're in this inner circle here. And how much is it costing you? Think about that. So open your heart up and realize that these are the greatest mentors in the world that we have. Amen. Amen.
Very kind words. Appreciate it. Thank you. America is so honoring in the sense that to set aside a month like this for pastor appreciation. Isn't that an amazing thing to do? I'm grateful for it, and it's something we believe in. I mean, we were just in South Africa And we honor our pastor. We give into their lives. We honor them with our words. And so it's a principle. But thank you, Tom. That was very kind of what you said. And we appreciate your words. And family, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And I always like to read a scripture. There's various ways that you can give. It'll come up. But put that scripture up on the screen for me. I want everyone just to see it as we read it. This one verse. It's so powerful. It says, "You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand." So let's leave that up there. First of all, it says, we shall surely give to him. You know, the Bible always talks about when we come before the Lord, we come with worship. They always came with an offering. They never came empty-handed. Read your Bible. Read the Old Testament. Read the New Testament. Offering is a part of our worship. So we shall surely give to him. And it says our heart shouldn't be grieved when we give to him. It shouldn't be when we say it's offering time, you go like, "Oh, I should have left before offering time." No, our heart should not be grieved. Bible says God loves a cheerful giver whose heart is in his giving. Amen. And why should we not be grieved? It's because there is a blessing that is attached to giving. There's a blessing. It says here, it says, because, don't be grieved when you give, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works. Say, all my works. And to all to which you put your hand. That's a good confession to be making, right? Not like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if inflation goes any higher. I don't know how I'm going to pay for things. Don't say that. Say, I am a tither and I am a giver, and God blesses the work of my hands and everything to which I put my hand. Amen. God's blessing is on it. So as you get ready to give today, there's envelopes in the seats where you are. There's various ways you can give. Those that are watching online, you can just click the give link. We give through Secure Give, and it's a one-time setup. So if you want to do that, we have people that give recurring, which is I'm very grateful for. One of our top givers watches online, and you know why they continue to give, make sure they tithe, is because they see the blessing that comes to it. They believe the word of God. Amen. So let's be like that. You can give in the envelopes that are set right there. You can give on Zelle as well and through Cash App. So we're going to pray over the offering right now. Father, I thank you for every person that is participating and honoring you with their offering today. Father, we do it with joyful hearts. I know Steve and I, as we tithe and as we give, we do it with thankful hearts. Because everything we have comes from you. And we thank you for your blessing upon the families in this church, upon the individuals. You bless the work of their hands. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. You can go ahead. Thank you. I lose him. There he is. He's dressed all in black. When he leans against the chairs, I can't even see him.
Praise the Lord. I just want to quickly remind everybody that we are starting a Christian growth seminar. It runs for 4 Tuesday nights. It really is a life-changing Bible class. If you haven't done it, I want to encourage you. How many of you have done the Christian growth seminar? Wave your hand at me if you've done it. If you haven't done the Christian growth seminar, you really need to join us. It's a free class. It starts on Tuesday, November the 1st. If you haven't done this, don't miss this. I can't tell you the testimonies that I hear from people. They said to me, "Pastor Steve, I learned more on the Christian Growth Seminar than I learned my whole Christian life." It really is an amazing, life-changing class, and it starts on Tuesday, November 1st. Please fill out this Grow card. If you want to be a part of this class, fill out this card and get it back to us. Put in the offering basket or leave it on the counter in the lobby, and we'll get it from you. That's really important. And then Pam Sayeg is having a Bible study. Has it started already? That is happening on Monday nights. And it's right here at 6:30 p.m. And it's called Middle of the Miracle, the short route to Canaan's land, the promised land. Some key points there. Who's in your boat? There can be blocks to your miracles, how to identify and remove them, how to move forward in the miracles in your life and help others. So there's Pam. Wave at me, Pam. If you have any questions, go and ask it. And then did the youth want to mention something? I've got a youth announcement here. The youth had a great time at the bowling. Unfortunately, I wasn't there because I would have won. But anyway, who did win the bowling? You? You did? What did you bowl? How much did you bowl? What score? 300? 300 game? Huh? Multiple strikes. He was practicing, that's why. He went out there and practiced. Well done. Well, praise God. I heard that prayer this past Thursday was amazing. I was told it was an amazing time of prayer. We pray every other Thursday night at 7 p.m. I heard it was so powerful. Nobody wanted to go home. Amen. Oh, man. Well, stand up with me today. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of faith. Lord Jesus, you said that all things are possible to someone who has faith. Thank you, Lord, that faith is the key. Faith is the victory that causes us to overcome the world. Faith, Lord, is what pleases you. Faith is how we receive and see your promises made real in our life. And I thank you that as we go out today, Lord, that we're determined to walk and live by faith, believe what your word says, and to declare, to confess the promises in your word, Father, and to hold fast to our declaration of faith. And we give you all the praise for everything that is said and done, Lord. We thank you that you watch over your word to perform it, Father. We thank you for doing miracles this week. We thank you for guiding us this week. We thank you for protecting us this week. You provide and meet all of our needs this week. We thank you for using us this week, Lord, that you use us to let the light of Jesus shine out of us. And Lord, pray this week every one of us will invite someone to come to church. I thank you, Lord, that next week every single one of us will bring a guest to come to church with us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe we have cake. We have a cake. Is it for Pastor's appreciation cake? And for our anniversary, we invite you to join us in the lobby and have some cake with us. Stay a while if you can. God bless. We'll see you next time, everybody.